Welcome to the NCCF Teaching Podcast. We trust you'll find this encouraging. Thank you and God bless. I'm encouraged with the life of this fellowship. We had a Christmas party on Wednesday with those who are part of the leadership here at New Covenant and their spouses. And several couldn't make it, and yet we had 22 people at our Christmas party. And look around the room. There's not a ton of people here right now, and yet when you think about the ripple impact of this fellowship and just the commitment and the core of people that have given so much of their time, energy, blood, sweat, tears, prayer into this expression of the Church of Jesus Christ in Woodland Park, I'm absolutely encouraged. I'm so amazed. It's such a gift. You guys are such a gift. I want to share that. I mean it. So with that, I want to pray and jump into a passage of scripture that I brought last week, and we'll roll into just some time of encouragement in God's word. So Jesus, thank you for this fellowship. Thank you that we are in Aspen Grove and that we have seasons. There have been times like the winter months now where externally things have not been, you know, full on, and yet spring comes. And the changes of the leaves into the fall. And when the wind blows and the leaves quake, they dance. And so I pray, God, that we, as a fellowship of sons and daughters, as a fellowship of believers in you, Jesus, that we would send our roots out, the signals would go out, and there would be a replication of life throughout this community. I pray this in Jesus' name, Lord. Amen. So last week, I brought a passage from Titus 3. When the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appears, he saved us, not because of the good things that we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior. It goes on to tell us that we've been made right before God, justified by grace, and now we have this hope that in this life and in the one to come, we're going to be brought into, and we are brought into, the family of God. So this morning I want to talk about the coming of Christ. It's fitting. Jesus, it's said of him that he is the visible image of the invisible God. And so it stands that when God wanted to embody all of his goodness, he did so in the human life of Jesus. The prophets of old spoke of his coming. In Isaiah 7:14, Isaiah prophesied, it says, "The Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel." And then we see this unfold in the lives of Joseph and Mary in Matthew 1:18. "And now the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, yet he did not want to expose her to public disgrace. He had it in his mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you will give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins.' All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: 'The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call him Emmanuel,' which means 'God with us.' When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. And he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son. And he gave him the name Jesus." God with us. The kindness and love of God appeared, and he dwelt among us. And what Titus offers us is an anchor that holds us, really. it holds us because it's more than just the idea of Jesus. It's not simply the teachings of Jesus that holds us. It's in fact that the kindness and love of God, which is represented in the life essence of Jesus Christ, is still with us. God is still Emmanuel. And Titus 3:5 says that God saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior. I want you to think about everything you've ever thought of or heard about the life of Jesus. Go ahead. Let it be one of those amazing moments inside of your own head and your own heart where you just start thinking about the life of Jesus. What have you heard about him? What have you read about him? What are your thoughts? Think about his kindness towards the undeserving, the thief. Not only the thief who crawled up in the tree to take a look as he passed by, but the thief who hung on the cross next to him, the kindness of the undeserving, the prostitute. Think about his profound forgiveness. Think about him advocating on her behalf, putting himself between her and her accusers who had rocks in their hands ready to stone her, the adulterous woman. Think about his profound teachings. Think about how he confounded the wise. They were just amazed at the things that he would say. Think about his generosity to the broken. The times when he would reach his hand out to heal. The times when he would reach his hand out to touch the untouchable. And the times when a woman would press through the crowd to grab hold of the hem of his garment. And the healing virtue flowing from him to her. Think about how he confronted evil. How he delivered the innocent from the bondage of foul spirits. Some had legions of demons tormenting them for years. He confronted evil in the religious leaders who would oppress people for the sake of their own gain. Think about Jesus taking his friends on a high mountain and transforming into a glorious light. Think about his command over nature, how he walked on water, how he calmed a raging sea. Think about his comfort and his promise to never leave you or forsake you. Now remember Philippians 2. Jesus humbled himself. He did not consider equality with God something to hold on to. He took on the nature of a servant, and he served even to the point of death. All of the things that you remember about Jesus, remember he was a man. And yet, you just heard me quote Colossians 2:9. Jesus Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. Let me put this into context for us. Colossians 2, let's start in verse 8. Here we have Jesus, who did not consider equality with God something to hold on to. He released it so that he could be a servant, even unto death. Yet he is the visible image of the invisible God. How does this work? So we put into context Colossians 2:8. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the traditions of man, T-O-M, Tom. So don't let anyone bring deception to you through traditions of man, according to the elemental principles of this world, rather than according to Christ. For in him the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. That's Colossians 2, 8, and 9. So this brings me to one of my favorite discoveries. This came to me when I was in Kansas City. Tiffany and I, we had gotten married and we had moved away because we were going to go discover the world. Little did we know that you don't have to actually leave Woodland Park to do that. And it took us about 10 years to get back. But in that 10 years, we were in Kansas City in the mid-90s. And I experienced a personal awakening. I had a spiritual awakening during that time. It set a trajectory. It set a course where I could look back from where I'm standing right now and I could say, yep, that was pivotal for me. I wouldn't be where I'm at right now if that had not happened. It was literally life-changing. Up to then, it was just my soul trying to connect with God. I was engaging the ideas of God through my intellect. I was striving to will my behavior into submission. I was suppressing the maze of emotions so that I wouldn't be led by them. So my mind, my will, my emotions, that was the construct by which I was trying to connect with God and receive from God, my soul. And I came to that honestly because growing up, there were two strong values that were impressed on me as a kid. I grew up in the church, and I grew up in a really fairly legalistic church. In fact, they broke off from the Baptists because they thought the Baptists were kind of watering it down a bit. And so, if you know what that means, these were some really devoted legalists that I was being raised in that environment, in that community. And there were two things that were strong values that were impressed on me. One, and both of these are like legit. Both of these come from Scripture. Both of them have the potential of giving life, and both of them have the potential of squishing you. The first one was show yourself to be approved. So study to show yourself to be approved. That study to show yourself to be approved, that was a value that was impressed on me. There was actually the second part of that, and some of you know this verse, right? Study to show yourself approved, a workman who needs not to be ashamed. So that's where it turned sideways, because shame was now the motivator. So you studied to show yourself approved so that you wouldn't bring shame to yourself or to somebody else because you didn't know the answer, basically. And the second value that was impressed on me was a value for soul winning. That's actually how they termed it, soul winning, which is witnessing. Again, there's nothing wrong with that. Bible tells us that we will be witnesses and we will go not only to our neighborhoods but to the nations and we will be a witness of Christ. So there's nothing wrong with that. But these two values went hand in hand in my childhood, since the idea of soul winning there was to convince the other person, often through persuasion, that their way of thinking was wrong. That was how we went soul winning. In fact, most of the Bible studies were geared towards fortifying your stance through the knowledge of Scripture in order to engage someone in, we never called them an argument, but that's essentially what it was. In fact, many of those Bible studies were geared towards countering common arguments against your way of thinking. So they would literally come with, okay, if you ever get this question or if you ever get this thought, this is what you can do to counter that. That's how we were raised in our Bible studies. All right, so there was a high priority on this intellectual knowledge, and there was a hope that if someone changed their minds that they would go to heaven. So again, is anything really wrong with that? Especially in light of the fact that we just read Colossians, you know, it's not far from the encouragement in Colossians that we're not to be taken captive by philosophy and empty deceptions according to the traditions of man, according to the elemental principles of this world. And so you can see where it's like, okay, that's important stuff, rather than according to Christ. And so where it breaks down and where it broke down for me and where I experienced a true spiritual awakening, even though I had grown up in the church and now I was in my late 20s, early 30s, I was having these aha moments with God, was in the revelation that was connected to this phrase, rather according to Christ. So don't be deceived with all this stuff. Rather come in accordance with Christ. Up to then, it was actually, you know, don't be deceived by Tom, traditions of man, a world thought, but rather the precepts of Scripture, not according to Christ. These two things sound very similar, but they were different for me, and they might be subtly different for you. It's not that I'm to avoid being deceived and I'm rather supposed to come into the precepts of Scripture. It's actually I'm supposed to come into accordance with Christ. And so I was raised, I guess what you would call a Bible deist. So much of what I understood was that the Trinity, even though we acknowledge that there was a Holy Spirit, it never was spoken of. It was God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Bible. Scripture took precedent over like the life flow and connection that we can have spiritually with God. According to Christ, that phrase is according to the power of God given to Jesus and to the people of God through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, who he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Lord. I didn't know that Christ wasn't Jesus' last name. I didn't know that Christ means anointed. And what anointed Jesus to do all of the things that you just remembered about him, that wonderful few moments of reflecting on the life of Jesus, what anointed Jesus to do all of those things that you remembered about him, this man who gave up his deity, humbled himself to become a man, to serve, the thing that set him apart was the anointing of the Spirit of God. What anoints you and I to live renewed lives of hope? The Spirit of God. Christ didn't just come at the birth of Jesus, son of Joseph. Christ isn't just coming for you and I in the future to rapture us home. Christ is now Emmanuel, God with us, the living, dynamic presence of Holy Spirit. This is Christ. This is the anointing. And so the awakening continues, right? I mean, it wasn't just the power of goodness and love given to Jesus through communion that he had with the Holy Spirit. That wasn't just my awakening, my aha moment, like, oh my gosh, that's what gave Jesus the ability to do what he does. It was this. It was more that you and I, as body, soul, and spirit, we actually have this point where we can connect with the anointing and the presence of the Holy Spirit for our own lives. And I'm speaking to many of you who know this to be a part of your experience. And yeah, I feel compelled, as I did last week, to come to a base with you and say, this is the good news of Jesus. It's not just that you can connect with and agree with precepts and ideas about him. It's not that you could just believe about him and be somewhat removed from the reality of his presence. No, we are encouraged to believe into him. So I'm more than body and soul. And while my soul was saved, and the point of witnessing can be that people's souls can in fact, experience renewal and be sozoed or saved, like we said last week, the deeper invitation is to realize that you and I have a spirit. And when we surrender to Christ, our bodies, souls, and spirits are actually being united with Christ, the anointing of the Holy Spirit. This anointing awakens our spirits to life, and this hope of eternal life as sons and daughters is for the now. It's not something that happened then, and it's not something that will happen in the future. It's also something now. And so your spirit is made alive in Christ. So the writer of many of the letters found in the New Testament, Paul, we all know about Paul. Paul really got this. He understood this big time. And once, you know, and I was thinking about this, you know, one of the reasons why we go to memorial services isn't just to respect, you know, the person who's passed on. It's not just to give our condolences to the family. It's also to remind ourselves of some things related to the larger story. And Paul wrote once about death, saying that he wished he could actually just die and go to heaven. Now, this is like one of those dudes in Scripture, you know, he's a pillar. I don't think he was just depressed. I think he actually really understood that life beyond this world is awesome. And yet, he acknowledges that for those of us who have received Christ, you know, heaven is a gain. He actually doesn't mince words with that. He says, it'd be awesome. And yet he came to terms with the fact that God had a purpose for his life on the earth now. And as he puts it, I mean, he puts it this way. He says, for me to live is what? Christ. For me to live is Christ. Now think of it in terms of that definition of Christ being the anointing. For me to live is to live as an anointed person. That's the only way I'm going to actually experience life. And that's the purpose of my life, is to live as an anointed person on the earth. That's the reason why I'm here. I believe he came to terms with the fact that his life was hidden in Christ. And to all the people that he would encounter, they would experience something of the life of God through the relationship that he had with them. And I think that's really the reason why Paul was able to settle in to this idea that, you know, it would be better for me to just die and go to heaven, but I realized that my life purpose is bigger than myself. My life purpose is to actually be the anointing of the Holy Spirit to other people so that they can experience something of the wonder of God through my life. So it wasn't enough for Paul to win the arguments, right? He tells us, in fact, that when he came to these various places to be with various groups of people, he did not come with persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the anointing of the Spirit of God. This was his purpose in life. He came with the resurrection life of the Holy Spirit. And when people touch the real life of Jesus, the real life of Christ, not simply the ideas of Christ, but the real, like, presence of Christ, they have a rebirth and a renewal, you know? So that's the good news that Jesus points to. So in our old life, it was all about groping in the dark, you know, and this internal degradation of sorts. It was like this, the law of entropy, you know, it was like everything just kind of naturally is breaking down. When that touches the reality of Jesus Christ, the presence of the Holy Spirit, we're brought from that kingdom of darkness and we're translated into a kingdom of light. And while our physical bodies experience like this breakdown, you know, we have the effects of age and we are all going to die at some point. Our spirits are being renewed daily. Can we connect with that? This is the gift of Christ. This is the gift of Jesus coming to the earth to make a way for us to have open access to the very presence of the living God through the Holy Spirit. So you and I, we can relate to Paul. And we can come to terms with the fact that It's no longer we who live, but who lives in us? Who lives in us? Christ, the anointing, the presence of the living God has taken up residence in our life. And Titus tells us that he poured out his Holy Spirit on us generously. And in that generosity, we experience rebirth and renewal on a consistent basis. So the Spirit of Christ is our Emmanuel, and he has brought us into freedom, and we share in his glory. Some would argue that God will not share his glory with another. And I love how Bill Johnson responds to that. We're not another. We're his bride, and we are united with him in Christ. So this is clear as Jesus prays in John 17, 22 and 23. Jesus says, I have given them, that's you and I, he has given his disciples the glory that the Father has given to me, he says, that they may be one as we are one, I and them, you and me, so that they may be brought into complete unity. Then the world will know. Then the world will know. How will they know? Not because they lost an argument, but because they connected with something glorious about the presence of God that brings unity. Then they will know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. We can even see in Romans 8, 21, the restoration of creation itself will experience the same rebirth and renewal as we have in the Holy Spirit. And this is out of Romans 8, 21. The creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and the glory of the children of God. Do we even, know how awesome the glory of God is in our lives? Do we even know this treasure that God has placed in these earthen vessels called our humanity? The remedy for self-hatred is this: the Holy Spirit awakening our vision to who he sees us to be. We are glorious. And so we enter into the week before Christmas. We also enter into the day of the year where it is the longest night, especially if you're like my daughter and Nick, who live in Alaska, and they might get a sliver of light in the middle of the day. But here we have this winter solstice, and it's a reminder that Christ came as a light unto the world. And so theologians argue about, when was Jesus really born? Was he really born in December, at the end of December? And to me, it doesn't really matter. What I really like about this time of year is this, is just really the reminder that in the darkest hour of this world, light has come. The Christ anointing that I've just spoken of is that light. And that light has taken up residence in your life. So I'll close with this charge, really, out of Matthew 5. You are the light of the world. Not speaking of Jesus. Jesus is actually speaking to us. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds, the goodness of God displayed and represented through your life, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. And so with that, I just want to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to seal what he's encouraging in each of us as we receive the gift of life through the anointing of the Holy Spirit, fresh and new right now. So Jesus, thank you for being the way, the truth, the life, and for releasing to us the promise of the Holy Spirit. Thank you that you are generous and you pour out your presence over our lives with reckless abandon, without guarantee that we'll ever really know what we carry, without guarantee that we'll actually display the light. And yet you entrust us because you know that when we taste it and we see it and we touch it, even in a small measure, it brings so much hope and life to us that we just get hungry for more. So thank you that you are inexhaustible in this gift. And we just ask for more. More of your presence. I ask that we would become more aware of your presence in our life. I ask that you would make Scripture come alive so that it connects deeply with who we are, body, soul, and spirit, and that we are spiritual beings who have been united with the Spirit of Christ, and you have brought light into this world, and that light shines through our lives. And we just want to thank you for the privilege of being that container, and we want to thank you, God, that we are being renewed daily. And so we receive fresh right now, just the outpouring of your Holy Spirit. Thank you for empowering us, for encouraging us. Thank you for liberating us into freedom. And thank you for sharing your glory with us. And I just want to declare, church, you are glorious. You are glorious. Your light shines bright in the city.
We hope you enjoyed the podcast. If you have any questions, please drop us a line at nccfcolorado@mac.com.